Movie, film, 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 Movie. Film. It's the podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film.
Every week.
I'm Nate, and first of all, I'm not your uncle.
I'm Terrell. And I'm the octopus. And I got eight of everything.
Is that from Finding Dory?
Ooh. there is an octopus in that. No, actually, mine's is from The Spirit.
Ah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. That one kind of...
Also directed by Frank Miller, like today's pick, Sin mm-hmm. City.
Yeah! What was yours?
I quoted a movie from the other director of Sin City.
Robert Rodriguez. Say your quote again. Say it again.
First of all, I'm not your uncle.
Oh, that's Spy Kids.
It's Spy Kids.
Yeah, Machete, baby. Yeah. Some Trejo.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
So as mentioned, we're talking about Sin City today.
We're doing Sin City. This is a great one.
We'll get to that. Mm-hmm. But first, what have you watched this week?
I didn't watch anything.
All right.
Okay, so I'll say this. We attempted to watch I'm Thinking of Ending Things for a second time, and we both fell asleep.
I did not fall asleep.
You didn't fall asleep?
No.
Oh, I fell asleep.
Wide awake.
I thought you said that you were getting ready to doze off.
No, I told you that you were dozing off.
Oh, yeah. No, I was...
I think you were asleep when I said that.
Oh, I was... I was dozing off, like, from the beginning of the movie. And I was just like, uh-oh, this is a disaster. But I didn't want to stop it. Because I was like, maybe I can pull myself together.
Nope.
And no. I must have like started breathing pretty loud or something. Were you noticed that I was asleep? Yeah. And then...
Well, I could hear you waking up a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like in and out. And I was just like, this is not the way to watch this movie. This is not how I want to watch it. I'm going to watch it again. I'm going to start it over. And I'm going to watch it when I'm not sleepy because it must have been nap time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. That's the only attempt I made.
So we'll have our spoiler conversation on that in the future.
Yes.
I watched a couple things.
Go ahead. I saw you watched Knives Out again.
I rewatched Knives Out. We did a whole podcast. Wasn't going to bring it up because we have recorded footage of us discussing that.
Discussing it. But like anything else new you want to say about it?
No. I've seen it a bunch of times now. Okay. Feels like a classic.
Okay.
I was looking at my phone a lot because I've seen it so many times, but it has definitely entered the echelon of movies where it's like, let's just put that on because that's a fun movie.
Yeah.
And I just want a fun movie on right now.
Nice. What else have you watched?
I watched Grandma. I rewatched Grandma. I saw it in theaters in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Is a Lily Tomlin movie I was watching when you saw me watching a Lily Tomlin movie the other day.
Mm-hmm.
She plays the titular grandma.
Oh.
So it was only after rewatching this that I looked up the director because I was really surprised to see it was written and directed by a man.
Mm-hmm.
And then even more surprised when I looked up that man, Paul Weitz, who is written and directed by the man who did American Pie and Meet the Fockers, but this is a very sensitive, pretty queer, small, like down to earth movie about estranged family and abortion.
Sounds like Paul White has range. Sounds like he has range as a writer and a director. If you can go from American Pie.
There's also like a 20-year difference.
Yeah, he grew up as well. Some directors don't.
Yeah, but this is one of those like tiny, I don't know what studio did it, but quote unquote indie movies that has like a really good cast. I like it when that happens. So it's aforementioned Lily Tomlin, Julie Gardner, Marcia Gray Harden, Judy Greer, Laverne Cox. There's a little bit of John Cho in there. Sam Elliott, Nat Wolff.
Don't know who Nat Wolff is?
Hereditary.
Okay. Oh, okay. The Naked Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in it. Or is he not the one from Hereditary?
He's from Hereditary.
Is he the other... No, Alex Wolff is from Hereditary. Nat Wolff is the other Naked Brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But still, lots of fun people. Mm-hmm. And you get a scene with Sam Elliott, like, kind of about to cry and then trying not to cry, but crying anyway. And that is just very touching since he's, like...
Working through tears. It's a good working through tears acting moment.
Yeah, and just coming from him, who's, like, this beacon of masculinity, of, like... old-timey ruggedness and just that deep voice and just to see tears in that man's eyes.
Have you seen A Star Is Born?
Yeah.
He gives one of the greatest performance where he's like working through tears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of that.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. I also watched Ida, I guess.
Oh, you watched that library movie.
Yes, it is a movie that I rented from the library.
How long ago?
In late February.
Mm-hmm.
And then the library closed for some reason for a couple months. Mm. Don't know what was happening with the library.
Library. Hello, we need you.
Also, I was, you know, feeling weird about the world, so very hesitant to watch this movie about the... Post-World War II, Poland, dealing with the aftermath of what that country went through. Mm-hmm. It's very serious, very intense.
All right.
So I put off watching it for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I meant to watch it with my mom because she likes these kinds of stuff. And we both saw another movie by this director, Paweł Pawlikowski. It was incredible.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was so good. And only 82 minutes. I shouldn't have put it off for so long because I could have watched it like 6 times.
Right.
I did return it to the library.
Okay. So, nice. Yeah. So was it as tough to get through as you thought it was? Like that?
No.
Whatever feeling you had about watching it, did it like go away once you were watching it?
No, I felt it. But I got through it.
Okay.
And am a better person for it.
Hey.
No, it's heavy. It's really heavy.
Okay.
It's about a woman that grew up in a convent is about to take her vows.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes to meet her only living family member that she'd never met. I guess I watched two movies about estranged family. So, and then it turns out that the rest of her family were Jews that were killed.
Wow.
Yeah. Really interesting approach to a Holocaust movie, being that it took place in the 60s, well after that. Because I've seen so many recreations of the ghettos and camps and all that suffering, but to see decades later...
The aftermath
and just that country and... Yeah. And really, just a really well-done character study, like today's movie, Sin City. It's also... black and white with gorgeous cinematography.
And characters. Such great characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that all you watched?
No, I rewatched El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie. I watched it when it came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of took it for granted. I guess it came out around Oscar season when a lot of very, very good movies were out. I guess I was very preoccupied with Uncut Gems and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Parasite. Yeah. So I don't know why, but I rewatched it and it's so good.
It hit different. Sometimes you need to like watch a movie when like there's not the hype of it around it, and it changes it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the hype can like ruin something, and then you'll come back to it, and you'll be like, you know, like what was so different this time around? And it was like I watched it without all that like clutter that was going on in the world around it.
I was pretty dismissive of it the first time as just like an extended episode of Breaking Bad that they made later. But no, it's. I mean, you haven't watched that show.
No, I haven't.
But Vince Gilligan is just so good at these specific stories in this universe.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna...
And he just completely mastered how to tell these stories. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Paul is great. Oh, I rewatched it because of Jesse Plemons, who was in I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Uh-huh.
He's in this.
Oh, okay.
I really like Jesse Plemons.
Yeah, me too. He's always different. He's always so different in everything he does.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to give Breaking Bad a chance. I think I've watched, I've caught up on a lot of the like great TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all I have left is Breaking Bad. I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I've watched The Sopranos and The Wire and mm-hmm. Oz and all that. So now I have like, it's just the Breaking Bad, which is like always
mentioned.
People
put Mad Men in that category.
Have you watched Mad Men?
No.
Okay.
I tried. I'm not going to try again.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to. I don't know. I don't think I really have interest in that one, but.
Let's stop talking about TV.
I know, because we could talk about TV all day, because that's all. We watch a lot of TV, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But let's stop.
Let's stop.
Unless you want to, like, have an I May Destroy You podcast.
Right?
Like a side podcast.
Let's stop.
And let's roll the trailer for Sin City.
Can't do a thing to me, Hartigan.
There'll be a risk. There'll be death. Nothing can stop this.
Time to prove to your friends that you're worth it now.
We'll fight the cops and the mob. We'll go to war.
This isn't some barroom, bro.
This is bad days, the all or nothing days. They're back.
You already made a big mistake yourself.
A hardtop with a decent engine, and make sure it's got a big trunk.
Sin City is a 2005 American neo-noir crime anthology film produced and directed by Frank Miller and Robert Rodriguez. It's based off of Miller's graphic novel of the same name.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
Oh, I hated this.
You hated it?
I own the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I have at one point loved this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen it since the sequel, and I had a very alienating experience going to the theater to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And thought, oh, this, he forgot how to do it. This isn't good. And then I had a similar experience watching this one. So I guess I've just grown and my sensibilities have changed and my tolerance for rampant, violent, aggressive misogyny
has changed.
Has decreased, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the second one suffers from timing. It's like having like 9 years from the original, when like the like.
Yeah, if I saw that one as a teenager, I would have been apeshit for it too.
Yeah,
as a teenage boy, it was timing. I should be specific,
because this movie is really kind of trendy. Not that it followed trends, but it kind of set a trend, and it set it like a stylized look. But by the time the second one came over, that hype was like long done.
Like Zack Snyder influence, definitely. But what else?
You saying Sin City is Zack Snyder influenced? Or you were saying, Zack Snyder is influenced
by... You were saying that this is like, there is hype and it was trendy, right?
Yeah.
So I'm drawing the comic book movies of Zack Snyder as really the only...
I think this line I this came say. Out before anything like Watchmen or...
Right. Zack so, Snyder.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He was influenced by this. I don't know where else.
The Spirit.
Well, that's the same director.
Same. You're right. It was a big trend, though.
Okay.
I mean, that's all I can say, is I just remember, like, everyone going apeshit for, like, the aesthetic of this movie and just being like, wow, the black and white and then, like, the red, the blood, you know what I mean? And just, like, the yellow, just, like, the way they use color and they use the black and white and they use, like, shadows and just, like stark contrast was a big thing when this movie came out. It was the talk of the town.
Yeah, I agree that it looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fucking ugly, though.
Yeah. I will say that I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Still.
Let's go into detail. I'm really not looking forward to this podcast.
Oh, wow.
I'm just like... I hate myself.
All right.
Okay. Movie starts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is the first movie in 2 weeks where I don't have to do a disclaimer about one of the actors being an alleged sex criminal. So we do have Harvey Weinstein to thank for Sin City. So
he's a producer, right?
A producer, and I'm sure huge inspiration, and you know,
yeah, he does a lot of Tarantino movies.
Yellow Bastard made finance this movie.
Shit. It's Yellow Bastard now.
Yeah.
You want to talk about this opening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Customer is Always Right, Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
Get started with our noir homage with some saxophone.
Mm-hmm. Now, I picked this movie randomly... looking at Josh Hartnett's movie.
Yeah, you really put me in a corner because it was between this or another like Josh Hartnett movie that hates women.
Does it hate women? I haven't seen it in a long time.
That has a complicated relationship with heterosexuality.
Yeah. And I don't know, it was just random. It was a random month. I really was just like struggling on what to pick. And I was like, oh, Josh, let's see what he's done. And I was like, Sin City, 40 Days and 40 Nights, and Lucky Number 11. And Lucky Number 11 was too close.
No, you said... you did say 40 Days. I thought you said 30 Days of Night was one of them.
No, that's
I forgot that Lucky
Number
11.
That one was too horror. And get into some like
next
horror.
Next month, yeah.
So, and then you were like, Sin City.
Mm-hmm.
So, we picked it based off our opening actor here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is barely in the movie.
Barely. You picked it and you were like, I'm sorry, there's barely any Josh Hartnett in this one. I was like, it's okay. That's all right. A choice has been made.
You can watch Penny Dreadful if you want some Hartnett.
Mm-hmm.
He's in that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or Orphan Black, one of those.
It's Penny Dreadful.
Okay.
Yeah.
He plays the salesman.
Yeah.
None of the characters in this movie are people.
Mm-hmm.
They're just ideas.
Yeah. It's a graphic novel. It's a bloody, dark graphic novel. So, he is playing to his strong suit, playing a very handsome and smooth, debonair young man out on a balcony with a woman in red.
The customer.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, she's it's black and white except for her red dress.
Yeah, her red dress and her green eyes. And, you know... She's the customer, right? And he's the salesman. Perfect.
Hey, what's he selling her?
A fantasy, pretty much. He's selling her the fantasy of love. And within this one night, because he tells her, like, I love you. I'm going to take you away. We're going to be together. But it's all a ploy just to get in close to her. And she falls for it. She's seduced by this man, and they share a kiss. But while in this embrace, he shoots her.
Yeah, I liked the part where they kiss. Mm-hmm. Really, the only things that held up for me with this movie mm-hmm. are the visual style, which is just very strong.
Yes.
And innovative, and exciting. And some of the performances. Mm-hmm. Emphasis on some. I like Josh Hartnett, though. I mean, he doesn't yeah. have that much to do.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy for him to play a, what'd you say, debonair?
Debonair. Yeah. Yeah. I liked...
But when they kiss, it becomes like a 2D, like, as if... A lot of the movie looks like what I imagine frames of the graphic novel are. I yeah. never read it. Mm-hmm. But when they kiss, it becomes even more closer to that because you don't even see...
them anymore.
The people, it's like a 2D ink drawing.
Yeah, like a silhouette. So the background is all black and it's snowing. It's snowing throughout the whole movie, which is a pretty nice effect because it plays with that black and white. Mm-hmm. And so it's a black background, these two white silhouettes, and then you see her body fall as he shoots her. I really like the his line reading for his narration. I actually like how much this picture
so
is.
So much. It's, voice over. It's all narration. By gruff men that hate women.
Oh my goodness. Nate has had it.
Why can't he and the women have voiceover? Why can't we hear from them?
I don't know. That's not how the graphic novel is written.
Yeah, fuck Frank Miller.
Okay. But yeah, lots of in my opinion, good voiceover.
Too work. Much.
And that's our first story. The first story is very quick. Mm-hmm. Very quick, very short, but it
sets it up. It ends with him saying, I'll cash the check in the morning. Because yeah. It's just a job.
And we zoom out and out of the city, and it becomes Sin City. Like, the city itself becomes...
The skyline yeah. spells out Sin the title. City.
Yeah. And then we get these really cool... picturettes of the actor's name and the character that they're playing and the way they look in the graphic novel.
Yeah, you often get that at the end of movies like this, mm-hmm. but it's interesting that right off the bat, you get stills from the book.
Yeah. Yeah, so. They want you to know what they look like mm-hmm. in the comic and how they brought them to life visually to be accurate. And a lot of them are really, really accurate.
Next up is That Yellow Bastard Part 1. Mm-hmm. Our protagonist is played by Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm. John Hardigan.
John Hardigan, who's 60 years old and has a bum ticker.
Yeah.
So says his partner, Michael Madsen.
Mm-hmm. He's a cop on his way out, on his way to retirement. And we had a podcast where you was just like, every time there's a cop or someone that's like close to retirement, mm-hmm. it's never good news.
Right.
Yeah. Never good news. Even here. He's on the hunt for a serial killer.
Serial child killer.
Yes. It's a serial child killer. And he's trying to save Nancy from being the fourth victim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's 11 years old.
Mm-hmm. And his partner...
Bob.
Yes. Is trying to talk him out of it. Yep. Trying to be like, you're an old man, you should take it easy, blah, blah, blah. And John is not trying to hear it, right? He's determined to save this girl, so he punches him, I believe. He, like, knocks him.
We should talk about who the serial child killer is, though.
Okay.
Because it's Junior.
Yes. It's Junior.
It's important who his father is. Because mm-hmm. with a name like Junior, makes you wonder who's senior.
Yeah, who's the senior?
It is Senator Rourke.
Mm-hmm.
A corrupt politician.
Yeah.
Who bribes the police to cover up his son's crimes.
Mm-hmm.
But John Hardigan's on the case.
John Hardigan is on the case, and he's straight as an arrow, and he's not crooked. And so he's on the case, and he's not... dirty, like he hasn't been paid to, you know, clean his mm-hmm. nose of this mess.
But Bob is...
Bob is dirty. Dirty. Bob yeah. is dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we get some really, like, good shadow work here. Really good shadow work where Junior is talking to Nancy. but you don't see him. You just see the shadow and you see a scared little girl. Mm-hmm. And he's just talking about how, like, you know, they're just going to talk. They're not going to, he's not going to hurt her or anything. Like, he's just trying to, like, unsuccessfully lull convince his
victim
her.
Into a yeah, sense of trying security to, yeah, before lull, he abuses yeah. her.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I used to find this movie so fun.
It sounds like you're disgusted with your young self here.
Okay, I'm gonna try to reframe this so I can be less sour, bitter during this podcast. Mm-hmm. Instead of hating myself, being disgusted with myself, I'm gonna try to be proud of myself that I'm not as susceptible to this raw, toxic masculinity anymore.
Okay.
Dude bro cinema, as it were. There's think pieces on that.
So John is able to take down Junior. He's able to take down Junior pretty easily, I might say.
Yeah.
And he
shoots him in the Junior shoots John in the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Tries to escape, but Hardigan catches up, shoots off his ear, his hand, and then he says, "I removed his weapons, both of them," shoots him in, as the movie calls it, the pecker.
The pecker. His genitals gone.
Because as we know, a man's genitals are his weapon and his this livelihood.
Man is, yeah, this man is.
Well, there's a lot of, we'll get to it in the other stories, but in every single story, there's talk of men losing their genitals. There's just this fear of castration that permeates throughout the entire movie. Yeah. And just the
Shelley
idea
does
that
threaten a man.
The idea that a man without a penis is no man. So.
John is betrayed
while
this is happening by his partner from earlier. He is shot down. He's gunned down, like shot a lot, like really excessively. And is pretty much left there to die. But is comforted by Nancy, who doesn't leave his side.
Mm-hmm. Lies down in his lap, actually.
And that's the end of that story.
He passes out, and the voiceover that he says is, seems like a fair trade. My life, an old man's life for a young girl's life.
Yeah. Yeah, like he's okay with dying because he did his job. Next, we're introduced to the stone face Marv.
Yes, the hard goodbye.
Mm-hmm. He is a stone face brute.
They had to put prosthetics on Mickey Rourke to make him uglier. I had to Google Mickey Rourke to see if there were allegations against him.
Oh, man. He's good, and, right?
Well, because there's a lot of jokes in 30 Rock about because he was Jenna Maroney's ex-boyfriend in the canon of that show, and she makes a lot of jokes about the shit he used to do to her.
Mm-hmm.
No allegations against him, though he has some very bad takes about his sexual deviant friends.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Anywho.
So Mickey Rourke. They made him uglier with prosthetics, which is funny because he's not good looking.
He used to be really handsome.
Mm.
But they made him look exactly like the character in the graphic novel.
The jaw is like very straight line.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he like put on muscles or they put a muscle suit on him.
Probably a muscle suit.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, because he is like really like gigantic in this picture. And Marv is in love with this woman named Goldie. And he talks about how, you know, women, they don't even look at him. Like, he's too ugly to
even,
like...
He's an incel.
He's pretty much...
He's an involuntary cell. No, he is.
Okay.
He talks about it in the car later, about how no one will have sex with him.
Yeah.
Because he's so ugly.
Because he's so ugly.
And his whole time, he's just so horny.
Yeah. And so, he is in love with Goldie because, well, she slept with him.
She smells like angels ought to smell.
She's a goddess to him. And
yeah, it's the what's Madonna whore complex. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's Madonna.
Yeah. He doesn't even realize that she is a hooker because he doesn't have to pay. So yeah, that's the Goldie, story.
In the beginning, the customer's dress was red, mm-hmm. but Goldie is entirely in color.
Yeah.
To her skin show is in color. How passionate
he sees her.
Yeah.
Her hair is
red hair, is, red lipstick, red dress.
Her hair's blonde. Okay. It's gold. And their sheets are red, and they're on like a heart shaped bed.
Mm-hmm.
So style. But after they're done making coitus, he wakes up and she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
She's been killed, and in his presence, without him even knowing, he wasn't woken or anything. She's just dead. She's gone.
You know, we get some voiceover, just confirming how Marv knows that she's dead.
Yeah,
do you remember?
Yeah, her breasts aren't moving the way that they would if she was alive.
Yeah,
yeah. The cops are on the way. Here's the sirens. And he knows he's being framed because no one knows that she's dead except for him. So mm-hmm. now he has to pretty much...
avenge her death.
Avenge her death, yeah. The woman, the love of his life. no, seriously, yeah. It's crazy. He slept with her one time and he is just like, I love her. I'm going to kill for her. I'm going to die for her. And so the cops make their way into the building, and he's pretty agile. He's pretty light on his feet. He's able to, like, pretty much bulldoze his way out of there, jumping from floor to floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out of the window into a cop car.
I love this part. He hops into the cop car through the windshield.
Yeah.
And then just beats the shit out of the cops and throws them out. And then I guess it's whoever was in the back seat that he tosses out. And then you get the Wilhelm scream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a hard skull, I'm gonna say. It's rock solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so he starts to make his way through town. First visiting his parole officer, played by the beautiful Carla Gugino. Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Gorgeous. Every time I say it, I just like, she's so gorgeous.
Naked.
And she's topless the whole time.
Yeah.
True to form, as is in the graphic novel.
That makes it okay.
Yeah. And she also, she's his parole officer, but she also supplies him with drugs because her girlfriend is a psychiatrist.
Yeah, here's some voiceover. She's a dyke. God knows what. God knows why. She could have anyone she wanted with that body.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just vomited all over my microphone. She wants him to give up his mission because, you know, women always trying to stop men from having fun and getting their jobs done.
Yeah, but he doesn't listen to her. He has a mission.
And but so, we learn that he has a condition. We don't get any clarification on that.
Mm-hmm.
Just that he sees things sometimes and he could be imagining this whole Goldie incident.
Yeah. So he makes his way down to this bar.
Strip club.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it a strip club? Yeah.
There's pole dancers. I guess it's not rated.
Hmm.
Jessica Alba doesn't strip, but she's dancing on a pole.
Yeah, she is dancing on the bar. We meet Nancy, a grown-up Nancy, and Shelley.
Yeah, I remember the first time I watched this knot. I didn't put two and two together that's the Nancy that was the little girl in the beginning. Because this movie does the Pulp Fiction thing of having different stories and then the timelines are messed up. Linear. I had such a boner for movies like that when I was a teenage boy.
Movies as puzzles that you have fiction. To put together. Yeah. Yeah. We also meet Dwight McCarthy, played by Clive Owen.
Yeah,
Dwight, so we get a lot
Dwight
of characters.
Briefly gets some voiceover in Marv's section where he's talking about Marv and how he's just like a shithead, always drooling over Nancy.
Yeah, how, you know, he's just a man born in the wrong time. You know, if he was born in the time of, like, gladiators, then he would be a star and he would have all the women he wanted. Or if he was, like, clobbering people with a...
Weren't gladiators held in captivity?
Yeah, that was that. He's thinking it more of him being, like, a ugly brute warrior type. Yeah. That's what he's breaking it down to.
So we get, like, a montage of Marv trying to fight his way to the truth.
Yeah.
The only way you can get to the truth is by beating up everyone. Motherfuckers.
Yeah. He beats up, takes out two hitmen. He, like, gives one guy a swirly. He drags one guy's face along the car.
Yeah, he's driving real fast in the car while the door's open and he's holding the head down on the pavement. But it's, like, very cartoony the way it's done because the whole thing is stylized to look like a comic book. A graphic novel.
And we also see Goldie, except she looks different. Oh, wait,
I just wanted to say, while he was dragging the head down, the voiceovers, like, I don't know about you, but I'm having a ball.
Yeah. He's having a good time here. This is what he does. Goldie, but not Goldie, because she is not in color, but it's the same actress. Mm-hmm. We'll learn more about that later, but she does handle him with her car, but only because he is kind of, like, confused at the sight of her.
Yeah, hits him several times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he decides that he's just hallucinating.
Mm-hmm.
And then that car with the woman that looks like Goldie drives out of town, and we see the sign for Basin City with the BA crossed out.
Yeah.
And that's why it's called Sin City.
Sin City.
So fucking clever.
So he meets with a pastor. All his, like, his rampage has led him to this pastor.
Yeah, priest.
You know, he's gonna kill the pastor regardless. But the pastor says something bad about Goldie, calling her a prostitute, you know, and he doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. So he shoots him, says amen.
Shoots him before he shoots him, the corrupt priest reveals that the Rourke family was behind the murder.
Yeah.
So he gets his information.
And tells him to go to a farm, pretty much. Yeah. So that's where we're headed right after this, is to the farm.
And then we see the nameless silent stalker.
His name's actually Kevin.
Oh yeah, right.
Which is funny because it's just like name's Kevin. Yeah.
Yeah. There's the salesman, the customer, Marv, Lucille, and Kevin.
Kevin. He's just a regular name for this irregular character.
He moves in silence. Mm-hmm. He has, like, a Charlie Brown squiggly shirt, but, like, it's demented.
Yeah.
And he has these really long fingernails.
Yeah, he's almost cat-like.
Yeah.
He's able to sneak up on Marv, which no one can do that, but he does. And he's able to, you know, incapacitate him, knock him out.
Yeah, scratches his face.
Mm-hmm.
Marv wakes up in the basement, and the blood all over him is red.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just wrote down, like, most of the times that we saw color.
Yeah.
They feel significant, but it's not.
It's like blood is red. Like, red is the color that's shown the most.
Mm-hmm.
So he wakes up in the cellar, and Lucille is there with him?
Still without clothing.
Still naked.
Except for which underwear. Which means
she was dragged out of her house shortly after Marv was there.
Yeah. Because she was looking into the story.
Yeah. And we see that on the wall there is, like, women's heads, kind of like trophies.
Mm-hmm. Like trophy animals.
Yeah, like trophy animals. It's women's heads. And she explains that this guy, Kevin, he's a cannibal. He eats people. And he wants you to watch while he eats.
She tells Marv that Goldie was a sex worker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, now she's also reveals that she's missing a hand and that he made her watch as he ate her hand.
Yeah, she shouts several times, "He made me watch, he made me watch, he made me watch." Then, "I need a cigarette."
Yeah. Dames. They just need to get it out.
Yeah, that's the voiceover.
That's the voiceover.
Right. He learns that dude's name is Kevin.
Yeah.
And just that information is enough for him to grab the bars, like it was like the prison style window with the bars. So that's enough for him to grab it and rip a block of concrete off the wall and escape.
Yeah. And he's betrayed by Lucille, who knocks him out.
I wrote my notes, Lucille bonks him.
Bonk. And she's trying to comply as best as possible.
Because the police are there.
Yeah, without anyone else getting killed. But instead, she is shot a billion times. And then shot some more when she's on the ground.
Turns out the cops are corrupt.
Are corrupt in Sin City. And when he wakes up and he sees this, he is able to take them all out.
All except one. Except for the leader.
Wait, the leader is the one with the coat, right? Because he does take him out. And eventually, he does take his coat.
Well, okay, he kills everyone except the leader.
Yeah.
Then, he does an interrogation.
Yeah.
To learn that Cardinal Patrick Henry Rourke arranged Goldie's murder.
Yeah.
And then he kills the cop.
Yeah.
Takes his coat.
He has this really great monologue in the rain.
Yeah, in front of this huge, like, statue of Rourke.
Yeah. And it's just like, there's this, like, really good close-up on his face where it's just like, his eyes are lit. And he's questioning whether he's becoming what everyone said he would become. If he would become a maniac or not. If he's imagining all this because he can't get his pills anymore. So, eventually Marv is captured by a group of hookers. Well, I guess we don't know that they're hookers yet, but he's captured by a bunch of women. And he's pistol whipped and he's beaten because they think that he's the one that killed Goldie. But he's able to convince them with words and not violence that he's actually after the killers. And he's able to break free from the knot very easily, which surprises them because that means he could have broken free any time and tossed them aside.
Yeah, we meet Wendy.
Yeah, Wendy is the twin. That's why she looks like Goldie. But she's not in color because she's not Goldie.
She slaps him a couple times with the gun.
We also get our first glimpse at Rodario Dawson as Gail, who, like, as soon as she, like, starts talking, it's just, like, it's, like, it's so much character. Like, yeah. Rosario Dawson in Sin City is so good in Sin City.
It's a shame the way the character's written.
She's just, like, she just oozes it. Like, she's just, like, that in, like, Eternal 10 that, like, actors are told to fill. She's, like, failing a 10 the whole time. She's really good.
Yeah, so she's watching Marv get hit while he's being interrogated. We also meet Becky, who's watching. Gail's, like, really into it. She wants him, like, she says, hit him again.
Yeah.
She's like, probably a dominatrix.
Yeah, she's like, he's like, I need handcuffs. She's like, I have a collection. Which one do you want?
Yeah, but you Becky, know? Played by Alexis Bledel, Rory Gilmore.
Yep,
Gilmore girl. She's also watching, but she's like the quote innocent one.
Yeah, she's Becky. That's her name, Becky.
So she's not as into it. Kind of looking away.
So they agree to go on a mission together, Wendy and Marv.
Yeah,
and he lists everything he needs. I like the way that the list is showed.
Yeah, a little photo montage.
Even of his hands when he's like, in my mitts.
Yeah, it's like it's all just, his supplies, like rope and the saw and this and this in my mitts.
Yeah.
Then on the car ride, there's some voiceover. Because, you know, he's confused. It's just talking about how much like Goldie Wendy is.
Yeah.
And I almost can't help but reach over and touch her.
Yeah. But it's not her. So he won't do it. He won't touch her. He does knock her out. No, that's a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit later. So he tells her to wait by the car. Wait 20 minutes. If I'm not back in 20 minutes, get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to fight Kev then.
Yeah, he blows up the farmhouse.
Yeah.
I wrote down that fire is red.
Mm-hmm.
I guess after a while, I stopped writing down the colors because I was like, what's the point of this? But he gets Kevin. He handcuffs Kevin to himself.
Right.
So that he can't sneak around anymore.
Yeah, he can't jump around. And it changed. Like, Marv is better at close combat because he's so strong that, he's able to just knock him out once he gets him that close. He ends up tying him to a tree. On his list, he had, rope or something.
It was, what's those like, tubes called?
Yeah, like rubber tubes.
Medical tubes.
Yeah.
The heroin tubes.
Mm-hmm. And a chainsaw. And he saws off his legs.
And arms.
And arms. And Kev is unfazed. Not impressed at all.
Doesn't scream.
Doesn't scream.
But stays alive through the whole thing.
And doesn't break his gaze. And even when the dog starts to, like, eat away at Kev, he starts to, like, smile even.
Mm-hmm.
It's not until Marv chops his head off
yes.
that that expression leaves his face.
Mm. Then he stops by Nancy's place for not any reason that advances the story, but just to be like, remember, and this will come back.
Yeah.
But we do get the voiceover. It really gets my goat to see guys beat up a dame.
Earlier, he had punched Wendy because she wanted to take the kill, but it was his kill to take.
Yeah, right.
So he just knocked her out. But yeah, him and Nancy are friends because he rescued her from a old frat boyfriend or whatever.
I like how when he visits her, he goes through the, like, there's no one has front doors in this. In this movie, it's only you go in through the fire escape, duh.
Mm-hmm.
Where you jump out the window.
Shelly's the only one with the front door.
True.
Yeah.
Not for long.
Yeah.
Doesn't it get taken down? No, she opens it. We'll get to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, now Marv travels to Rourke's mansion.
Yeah.
He's got to take out some henchmen.
Yeah, he takes them out.
I'm glad. I just want to say I'm proud of us. This is our 80th episode.
80? Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
And only our second comic book movie. I'm surprised and proud.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. That's crazy because we could be doing comic book movies all the time. We could do a whole month of comic book movies. Where were we?
Oh, so I was going to say, like, a staple of comic book movies is henchmen and cronies.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of henchmen to take out.
Mm-hmm. Lots of goons in this one.
Just bodies, so that violence can be committed against them. Which is
you need a lot of
really all the characters in this movie.
A lot of red shirts.
Yeah, but I feel like everyone in the movie is a red shirt in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they all just exist to.
To die.
To commit violence committed on them.
Yeah.
That's the sins. It's the corruption.
Mm-hmm. So after taking him out, he wakes up. He wakes him up. With the head of Kevin.
Yes.
And we get the bad guy speech. The big bad speech.
Rucker Howard.
Where he...
As Rourke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gives his speech and reveals his plan of how they tried to frame him and how they didn't think, this much mess would be made over a hooker. But because it was Kevin, Marv.
Kevin ate them to consume their souls, apparently.
Yeah. He felt close to God doing that.
Which is weird because it didn't really seem like anyone in this movie had a soul.
He kills him. He crushes his head. He said he was going to make it nasty and brutal, and he did just that. He is then, in turn, shot down by police officers.
A hail of gunfire.
Hail of gunfire to take him down. And he wakes up in the hospital.
Yeah, because it didn't kill him.
Yeah, it didn't kill him.
It's smoking aces again.
Yeah, he's
You think a character's dead, think again.
No, he's hard to kill. He's hard to kill. But it doesn't take long for the cops to just, like, start pounding on him and trying to frame him.
They want him to sign a confession, but he keeps spitting blood all over the confession.
Yeah, he's a real badass.
And he's like, and I was surprised by how many fresh copies they kept bringing back.
Yeah.
And he's still spitting more blood on there.
Yeah, and he was going to hold out until they threatened his mom. They threatened to kill his mom.
Yeah, public defender
turns
the tape off
and
threatens to kill his mom. And then he's like, I broke his arm in five ways.
Yeah.
And then agreed.
And signed it, and he got pinned for everything, even things he didn't do.
Kevin's victims.
Yeah.
So not just Goldie.
Yeah.
Not just Rourke, which he did commit that crime, but also all of the crimes that Kevin committed.
Yeah.
Takes the blame.
He's
sentenced to the electric chair.
Yeah. He gets a visit from Wendy. That's pretty nice. Not much there. He's given the electric chair.
Well, he calls her Goldie at first, and then realizes that it's not Goldie.
Yeah.
And when he realizes it, when she approaches, she's in full color like Goldie, and then he's like, oh, sorry, I mistook you, Wendy, I thought you were Goldie, and then all the color leaves her.
It's a cool effect.
And then he's killed. There's some good gallows humor. The pastor is, like, saying a prayer before, they flick the switch.
Mm-hmm.
And Marv interrupts him and says, can we get a move on? I haven't got all night.
Yeah. And he's hard to kill, like I said.
So they got to run it twice.
They have to run it twice in order for him to be done. And it zooms into his eyes. And in his eyes and his mind, he's still with Goldie in bed.
Yep.
Yeah. And now we move on to our next story. Do you got the name for that one?
The Big Fat Kill.
Yeah. This one is with...
This is the best one.
Yeah, Clive Owen, Brittany Murphy, and Benicio del Toro. And a few other people, of course. But it starts with them.
Mm-hmm.
Shelley is in this weird relationship with this character named Jackie Boy, who's this abusive loser asshole.
Abusive ex-boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Who is married and lies and he hits her. And she's tired of it.
He's outside her apartment.
With a bunch of goons.
With his goons.
Yeah. And she won't let him in because in her bedroom is Dwight. Yeah.
Her current boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. And he is just like, let him in. I'll take him on. And she's just like, no, you don't know how bad this can get. So she stalls as long as she can before she has to let
Jackie Boy in. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about this name, Jackie Boy?
Because
everyone calls him Jackie Boy. Like, if your name's Jack, I get, like, your grandfather or maybe even your father calling you Jackie Boy.
Mm-hmm.
But every person calls him Jackie Boy. His enemies still play along with Jackie Boy as his name.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Elijah Wood was named Kevin. It's weird.
It's comic booky that everyone would call him Jackie Boy and no one else would call him like anything else. They stick to the identity.
So he wants Shelley to call up her friends so that him and his goons can have some company when they go out on the town.
Yeah, but Shelley's holding her ground pretty much. She's not being submissive in any shape or form in this scene.
We got more shadow cinematography.
Yeah.
Where Dwight is like hiding down the hall, just listening.
Yeah.
And you see the shadows of Jackie Boy and Shelley being cast in the hallway as he's threatening to hit her.
And he actually does.
And she says, get it over with and hit me, you sick bastard. And he says, I never hit a woman. And then he hits her.
And then hits her. I really like another performance, Brittany Murphy's performance.
Oh, yes. Yeah. She's great.
She's great. She knows exactly what she's doing. She knows exactly what type of movie she's in. With the voice that she's doing and, like, the speaking pattern is very, like...
Yeah.
She did her homework. She watched a bunch of...
Noir.
Noir. And was just like, yeah, I'm gonna, like, emulate that. And she does it very well.
Yeah, I like Brittany Murphy. I like Rosario Dawson. Mm-hmm. Benicio Del Toro. Mm-hmm. Mickey Rourke plays it well.
Mm-hmm.
Might be it.
I like Clive Owen in this a lot.
Clive Owen's fine.
Yeah. He doesn't have to do much, but, like, just be, like, very, like, masculine.
That's every protagonist of all the stories. That's a like, they're all the same.
I don't think they're all the same.
Just varying shades of the same masculine energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just anti-heroes.
Yeah. No one in this is a hero.
Right.
No one in this, except for maybe John Hartigan.
Not really.
We'll get to it.
So, Dwight is hiding behind the shower curtain while Jackie Boy is peeing.
Yeah.
And he takes this moment of vulnerability to sneak up on him.
Yeah, at knife point. He's just like, leave her alone.
Warning, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm the new boyfriend, and I don't want to see you around her ever again.
Or I'll cut you in ways that make you useless to a woman.
Yeah.
So just more talk of castration.
Mm-hmm. And so he's like, you're making a big mistake. And so Dwight's just like, actually, you made the first big mistake by not flushing.
Yeah.
And he pretty
swirly.
Much almost drowns him in his own piss.
That's how I felt watching this movie.
Drowned in piss.
Drowned in my own piss.
Woo. He burps up some of his own piss, which is kind of funny. Shout out to Benicio. I hope he did that on his own. And he's shaken. You know, he actually is just like, guys, let's get out of here. Let's go. Yeah.
Let's go to Old Town.
Yeah. But Dwight sees him as a threat that he can't let live. Who the hell is Dwight? Type of hero does he sees himself as? He's going to kill all of them. Mm-hmm. So that they don't hurt any of the ladies in Old Town. And as he's making his exit on the fire escape, like you mentioned earlier, everyone is like enters and exits.
Then there's like the slow-mo jump outside, which is, Zack Snyder watched this movie. He took notes. I mean, this definitely like showed him how to adapt comics in a cinematic form by kind of copying the images from the panels.
Yeah.
And making them cinematic.
Yeah.
And so we get Zack Snyder's macho bullshit because of this, too.
Mm-hmm. As he's jumping out in slow motion, he mentions that he heard Shelley say something, but he couldn't make it out because there were police sirens going on. And it sounded like she said, stop.
Yeah. But he's not going to listen to the dame telling him to stop because the guy's got business, even if women are always trying to get him to stop doing the things that are fun, like murder and castration.
Mm-hmm.
He's driving in a red convertible.
Yeah. Fast, too. Speeding behind these guys.
Yeah, he comments in his voiceover that he's going too fast.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be seen.
And so they entered Old Town where the ladies are law.
Right? Yeah, Old Town is the red light district.
Mm-hmm. They govern themselves. Mm-hmm. It's just pretty cool.
Oh, fuck you.
Fuck me?
Like, oh, women have autonomy because the sex work. Like,
yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They do. And, you know, there are some women in this picture with agency. They don't get to have voiceovers. But they're not useless.
They exist for men. for the pleasure of men, for the motivation for anything a man does is to protect a woman. I have to kill this guy for this woman. It's not.
It's all fair.
Yeah, it's.
It's all fair. But yeah, now they're in Old Town, and Jackie Boy is looking for a lady to take out.
Yeah, and Becky happens to be walking by.
Yeah. And so, pretty much she's turning him down. She's just like, I worked a day shift, it's been a long day, and I'm headed home. And, before, like, Dwight can, like, make a close-in on them, he stopped.
By Gale.
Mm-hmm. He was just like, hold it, we got this.
His on and off lover.
Mm-hmm. Miho is already on the job.
Mm-hmm.
Deadly, silent Miho. And so they don't make a move on him until they pull out a gun.
Yeah, Jackie Boy says, when Becky keeps turning him down, you'll be surprised when you see what I've got. She says, I've seen all shapes and sizes. He says, how about this? And then he pulls out his gun.
Yeah.
Just really driving home the whole
penis.
Guns are phallic. Yeah.
She's like, you just made the dumbest mistake of your life. And so Miho jumps down. And as she's like, a little bit before she jumps down, Dwight is thinking about what Shelly said.
It's like something doesn't feel
right. Something doesn't feel right. Yeah, like he hasn't killed anyone I know. Like what did she say? And but it's a little too late because Miho is a master with a sword and she
pretty much a swastika shaped throwing star.
Yeah.
Why is it a swastika?
Well, maybe it's not a swastika.
It is.
She is Asian. And I know that the swastika the other way is a different symbol. Are you upset?
Yeah, that's bullshit.
It is. That's
it's a swastika.
That's history. That's history.
Yes, that Frank Miller is very respectful of, and
I'm just saying,
putting in his circle jerk, violent, macho movie.
I'm just saying that it could be, but you would know more about it than me.
It's a swastika. Let's not use it in movies. Let's not use the anti-Semitic imagery for a fun, bloody, good time.
Okay.
That's my take.
So the swastika shaped throwing star is used to take away Jackie Boy's hand.
Isn't the character it's supposed to be like peace, like it's a Zen thing?
Who, Miho?
No, your defense for being shaped.
Yeah, swastika. It is supposed to be for peace. But it's not used for peace here. And she is able by the Nazis. And she's able to take him out quickly, like very quickly. They don't stand a chance. She is able to just stab him. She slices one guy's head off. And Jackie Boy is left kind of alive. He pretty much kills himself.
She cuts his head, but doesn't go all the way, doesn't decapitate him.
Well, yeah, but before that, she plugs his gun, and Dwight tells Jackie not to shoot it.
Mm.
And he's so like ignorant and so full of himself that he doesn't listen, and he shoots it, and then he shoots himself in the head, like it backfires into his head.
More things backfire when they discover on Jackie's person is a police badge. Turns out Jackie Boy is actually Jack Rafferty of the Basin City Police.
Yeah.
Hero cop.
A hero cop.
That's an oxymoron.
Mm-hmm. So Shelly, he discovers that Shelly wasn't yelling stop. She was yelling cop.
Mm-hmm.
And so now everything has, shit has hit the fan. Because the ladies of Old Town have this truce with the mob and the police officers, that they don't kill cops.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they killed a cop, no matter how disgustingly gross he is, it spells trouble for them. And it means that things could revert back to the way they used to be.
It means that the streets will run red with blood.
Yeah.
Women's blood.
Women's blood.
I'm close.
Oh my God.
So Gail is ready for war.
She's ready for war. She's about it, and she's just ready to kill. We got guns. We'll take them out. But Dwight is like, no, I have a plan. I'll get rid of the bodies. Don't nobody got to know. We can avoid this whole thing.
Yeah. Let the guys take care of it.
Let the guy take care of it.
Gail. He actually says, shut up, Gail.
And he does smack her a bit, but she's into being
hit. So this is what happens. He hits her, and she... he hits her. Mm-hmm. He hits the gun, like, out of his face that she's holding. Yeah. And then all the women surrounding him then immediately pull out their weapons.
Yeah.
And then she says... She, like, wipes her face because she's feeling it. And she says, I forgot how quick you are. And then smooches him.
Hard. So hard that it hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's like, I need a hard top with a good engine and a lot of trunk space.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get him that.
Yeah, and Becky's trying to leave early.
Yeah.
Goes to call her mom, even though Gail said no calls.
No calls, don't call anyone, but she's calling someone.
Mm-hmm.
Miho has to chop up the bodies because they won't fit into the trunk hole.
Yeah.
And so he...
It's like Fruit Ninja.
Yeah, it is like Fruit Ninja. He's like holding the legs and she's just slicing away.
I guess it's just Ninja, right?
Yeah. Jackie Boy has to sit in the front seat with him.
Yes.
Whole. Clear enough for anyone who cares enough to look in the car to see him.
With a knife in his head.
Yeah, with the...
And the scene that follows is famously directed by Quentin Tarantino.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty cool Robert Rodriguez to be like, hey, Tarantino, direct this part for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty cool scene because it's all happening in, well, a piece of it's happening in the mind of Dwight, of this character, where Benicio, the corpse of Benicio del Toro, Jackie Boy, comes to life.
So very similar to Marv, Dwight hallucinates things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Jackie Boy is just kind of teasing him pretty much like, you're never going to make it. You're not going to get out of here. Pretty much Jackie Boy takes on the role of like his worry.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
This scene is pretty colorful. There's
a lot of lights.
Yeah, Tarantino style. Like, if you didn't know that he directed this scene, I think you would notice that, like, it feels a little different for a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes with the moment because he's imagining this corpse speaking to him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's heightened.
Yeah.
Even more so than every single thing about this movie being heightened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's over the top,
I guess. Yeah, it is over the top.
So you get some red and blue and green lights. And,
yeah.
Eventually just red and blue, though, because, uh-oh.
The cop. A cop is telling them, is trying to pull him over.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulls over, and he just has this inner monologue going on about what he's going to do. Like, is he going to kill him? He could be an innocent guy. You know what I mean? He could have a wife and a kid and all this bullshit. And, you know, the cop comes over and he's just like, your friend drink too much? And he's just like, yeah, I'm designated driver. And so he pretty much lets him go with a warning because he was driving with a busted taillight.
Mm-hmm.
The ladies gave him a car with a busted taillight and a bunch of bodies and not enough gas to make it to the pit.
Nope.
Ugh.
And he is attacked by a mercenary hired by the mob boss, Wallenquist.
Mm-hmm.
And,
The car does make it into the pit, however, but he also makes it into the pit as well.
Yeah, he almost drowns.
Yeah.
And you get another one of those...
silhouette, black, like hard contrast, black and white. And he's saved by Miho.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Miho saves him. And they realize that they have to not only get the head, but they have to save Gail.
Mm-hmm.
Gail, who in a previous scene was kidnapped by Manute, played by Michael Clark, R.I.P. Who is, what is he, a mob enforcer?
Yeah,
and he has like this gold eye. That's his color on his character. Yeah. This is gold eye. And so you get this really cool, like, car crash scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where things are looking bad. I want to say, Miho is blown away. The woman that was driving, yeah, her name
she
is, served
her purpose. She saved the Dallas. Dude, so we don't need her anymore.
Yeah, she is shot. She doesn't do anything, really. She doesn't even get a shot off. She steps out and gets shot.
That character could have been so much cooler.
Dallas?
No, Miho.
No, Miho? Miho didn't die.
Miho gets blown up.
She gets blown away. Wow. And then, like, he is led down into the sewer, yeah, with the guy in the head. And the guy gets the upper hand on him because he is, skilled with, explosives.
Miho lives?
Yeah. Okay. And she saves him again. She's always saving him. Hmm. She stabs him in the back and she's like, Miho is so good with a knife. You'll only feel it if she wants you to. Hmm. And then he's like, she twists the knife and he feels it. So they're able to get the head. And make their way over to Gail, who Gail at this point has it's been revealed to her that Becky is
sold her out
yeah, sold her out for money and, well, security.
She was,
and for her mother's
life. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And the Gail is so pissed off she takes a chunk out of her pretty little neck.
Yeah.
Bites it clean. Miho, what is it? Miho? One of them has a bow and arrow and sends a message to one of the guys.
It's probably Miho.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it. Yeah, a little message on the arrow that gets shot.
Yeah, saying trade for Gail, meet out back.
Yeah, trade Jackie Boy's head for Gail's freedom.
Yeah.
But They give him Jackie Boy's head, but the mouth is duct tape.
Yeah, and Becky's just like, wait, something's wrong. It's not right. He didn't have tape on his mouth before.
Kaboom!
Kaboom! It was a bomb. Mm-hmm. And actually, all those men are gunned down by the ladies of Old Town.
Yes.
Gunned down. Very aggressively. And Dwight and Gail share another hot and passionate kiss. She's his warrior woman. They're too hot for this world. End of story.
Yes.
Yes.
Becky gets away.
Yeah, Becky gets away. She's not shot or anything. No, she is shot,
but she gets away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our last long part story. A continuation of the beginning, That Yellow Bastard Part 2.
Yeah.
By this point...
How are you feeling?
Because I started the movie. I was excited to pick... I picked Sin City right away when you gave me that list.
Yeah.
You know, I have the DVD that I'm going to give you if you want it.
Yeah, it's been a while since you watched it, so I can tell. Because you were excited to do it. You really were.
So, just as it went on, I just was... just overwhelmed and beaten down. And so by this point, and then just remembering what was about to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Harvey Weinstein probably loved this script. So we open on Hartigan. He's alive. You thought he was dead. He's alive.
Nope.
Is your mind fucked?
And what does he do?
He's in a hospital, though.
Yeah, he's in a hospital.
He's been in a coma.
Yeah. He wakes up and Rourke Sr.
Oh, no, he's not in a coma. Junior was in a coma.
Rourke Sr. is there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he's talking about his pride and joy.
He's still alive.
His son.
Even though we saw him die in Marv's story.
Mm-hmm. And...
double mind fuck.
Mm-hmm. The timing's off. And yeah, he just talks about his son's lost potential. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we know his son's a goddamn bastard. Yes. To him, it's about the legacy.
Yes. The Bork legacy is in jeopardy.
And he's upset because John left his son dickless.
Yeah.
So, can't do anything with that. So he pretty much has to take a plea deal, right? Or he's framed, and he doesn't say anything. Like, he doesn't take the plea deal, and he's left in solitary confinement for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And out of those 8 years, for 8 years, Nancy writes him letters every Thursday. Yeah, every Thursday for 8 years.
Keeps him going.
Mm-hmm. With the pseudonym Cordelia.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But after 8 years, the letters stop.
Yeah.
And he gets a severed finger.
Yeah. And he's just like, okay, well.
So finally he confesses.
He confesses to everything.
To the things he didn't do. Yeah.
And he's released.
Because he confesses, he's put on parole.
Yeah.
And when he's released, picked up by none other than his old partner, Bob.
Yeah.
Michael Madsen.
Mm-hmm.
Who says a line that also sums up my experience watching this. If it's any constellation, you made me hate myself. I wrote in my notes, same.
Same. Yeah. He actually gets in the car with him.
Bob is like, what, are you still mad? It's been 8 years.
It's been 8 years after like, I shot
water,
you
It's
up.
Water under the bridge. Like, that's not for you to say, Bob. But yeah. He should be forgiving you.
Yeah.
Bob.
He ends up at Nancy's place. Mm-hmm. And it's...
Place of work.
Yes. Actually, no, her place. Like, her place, I think. The place he stops at before he goes to the bar is destroyed, kinda. And then he finds the matchbook with the bar on it.
Yeah, he's being followed by Homer Simpson.
Yes, this yellow guy. This
yellow bastard.
Yeah, this yellow bastard.
He's deformed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly who he is yet, but yeah, he's following him. And
so he gets... The clue, of course, mm-hmm. in noir. You always got to look at the matchbook.
Yes.
That'll tell you where you got to go to find the dame.
Very noir.
So it leads him to Katie's bar.
Mm-hmm.
And there we see Nancy as an exotic dancer.
Yeah.
Jessica Alba pole dance.
Yeah. He doesn't think it's her. He doesn't think... a young girl like her would be in an establishment like this. And then he also has this realization that they didn't know who she was.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know where she was and that he had led them to her. So after spotting her dancing on the bar, he tries to get away.
After spotting her dancing on the bar, he thinks to himself... Nancy filled out. What the fuck?
He tries to leave before he is seen, but she spots him and jumps right on him and lays a big wet one on him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But they gotta get out of there.
Yeah, they gotta go.
They escape in Nancy's car.
Yeah. Then the yellow bastard starts to shoot at them from behind.
He was hiding in the trunk.
Yeah. Yeah, after they shoot him, he was hiding in the trunk, and they go back to her place, I want to say.
Yep.
And then he's overtaken.
Yeah, he reveals himself as Rourke Jr.,
mm-hmm.
disfigured by years of surgery to regenerate his body parts. This is the second week in a row where a character had lots and lots of surgery and is a shitty guy.
Yeah. He's like, I bet you don't know how I look, but I bet you remember my voice. You remember the way my voice sounds, don't you? And so he ties him up and leaves him to hang.
Wait, back in Nancy's place, though.
Oh, go ahead.
Are we not going to mention the sexual tension?
Oh, yeah.
Nancy's throwing herself at him.
Yeah, she's falling in love with her hero.
Says no.
Mm-hmm.
And then plants a kiss on her.
Kind of gives in.
Can't help it. And because Nancy filled out.
But then he pulls away.
Yeah.
He pulls away and takes a cold shower to help. And then he's surprised by the yellow bastard. And is it?
Yeah. And gets tied up. Yep. Is hanging.
Yeah. And he's actually going to pretty much just give up because he feels like a failure. But it's like just a moment, like the snap of a finger. He's like, no, old man, fight. and stiffen your neck. And so he starts to fight being hung and is able to break some glass, get it in his foot, and then break himself free.
Yeah.
Yeah. He tells Nancy not to scream. It's really important that she doesn't scream.
Yes. He fakes a heart attack. Mm-hmm. That's how he kills Junior. His bum ticker. Mm-hmm. Classic old guy move.
Yeah.
In a movie to fake a heart attack.
Nancy,
did you think he was dead? Guess what? He's not dead. He's not fucked your mind.
I like the design of the yellow bastard because he just looks gross. And he's also just like this brat, you know? He's just like this real brat who's just like, he's going to like torture and kill this girl. But he's just like, if my tools aren't right, I'm going to call my dad.
If this movie were a person, it would look just like Yellow Bastard. It would
be the Yellow Bastard.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's able to, kill the Yellow Bastard, taking away both his weapons. This time, mutilating the Yellow Bastard, pulling what's ever left of his genitals. Just his out reconstructed from him.
Genitals.
Yeah, yeah, just ripping it out from him, and then pounding his face into mush. Nancy and John are going to make a getaway, but
Senator Rourke's never going to stop hunting them.
He's never going to stop. Yeah. Nope. And so he sends her off. Yeah.
Yep.
Sends her off and is just like, he tells her that he's going to do some stuff with the cops or whatever and evidence and stuff like that. But really what he's doing is he is sacrificing himself for Nancy.
Shoots himself, commits suicide.
And that stark old man's black and
life
white.
For a young girl's life seems like a fair trade.
Yeah.
My hero.
And so that's the end of that story. But we're not done yet.
Yeah, we get a little epilogue. Mm-hmm. Customer is always right. Part 2. Mm-hmm.
Becky is leaving the hospital. She's fine.
Yeah, talking to her mom. Mm-hmm. Probably for real this time.
Yep.
And she gets in the elevator. And guess who's there? Disguised as a doctor.
As a doctor.
The salesman. Mm-hmm. Josh Hartnett's so cute.
Ain't he?
Even when he's like sinister. Oh, yeah.
He's just like, hey, Becky, you want to smoke? And she looks over and she knows she's in danger.
Yep. And the movie ends with her closing her flip phone because it's 2005.
And she has a flip phone.
It's like, that's like the sound cue that they fade to black on, that they cut to black on, is her closing the flip phone. It's good. Yeah. It's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not, but. So yeah, Becky's gonna be murdered.
Yeah, that's it. The hit's been put on her. Yeah. Yeah. And that's Sin City. That is Sin City.
That is it.
That's it. That is it. Is it a movie or a film?
Movie.
Film.
You say film?
I say film.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah.
I base it off of depth, and this is so fucking shallow and just completely soulless and has nothing to say about humanity. Mm-hmm. There's no goodness. I mean, it's Sin City. But looks cool.
It looks cool. And it's really cool how they brought that comic book to life the way they did and didn't stray from it, no matter the cost.
Would have been cool if they found a better story to adapt.
I want to apologize.
What?
To you.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to apologize.
For picking this movie?
No, not for picking this movie, but for, like, earlier for, like, defending the swastika. I don't think I was defending it, but I think it was just, like, a weird conversation.
Fine. Yeah,
I don't want to ever try and, you know, defend that symbol in any way or find a way around that.
That excuse is just, like, a thing people that like swastikas use. Mm. That's a line.
Okay. You've heard it before.
I've seen it online.
Okay. Sorry, I don't want to be that guy.
It's okay. When you watch enough movies like this, it's hard to not be. Sorry, films. Why is it a film?
Oh, it's a film because of directing, because of the directing, because of the style, because of the nuance of how they brought, pretty much they just put copy and paste the, they put the comic book on film. And like the nuances in like the performances, especially like Brittany Murphy's performance. You know?
Sure.
It's okay. You don't have to agree.
No, her, I said I liked her performance, okay. I think, when I was listing performances I liked.
The way you said...
That doesn't elevate it, and there's, like... It's good. I mean, that's, like, one of the good things about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I've, in case you haven't been listening to this whole podcast, I have a lot of issues with the story.
Mm-hmm. Understandably.
Storytelling is interesting. Mm-hmm. It's novel. I never need to see this movie again.
Okay. Okay. I think I have like a appreciation for all types of like stories. Not saying that
so
you
I'm,
don't.
I'm the
no,
intolerant
yeah,
one.
No, no. See, as I was saying, I was just like, no, not what I mean, but like.
I think if the hatred of women in this movie were instead a hatred of black people, you would feel differently.
I would feel differently.
Or there's like some homophobia in mm-hmm. this. I mean, the line about the parole officer is mm-hmm. really fucked up.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, it is. Based on my
but
perspective
like,
of it.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I feel right now how you felt when we were podcasting about In Bruges.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah. Because, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I find the redeeming parts of that movie stronger than the redeeming parts of this.
Mm-hmm. No, I know.
Yeah.
That I understand that. I feel that.
This whole movie or a film thing.
Yeah.
It's interesting how we have two different ideas. It's definitely a style versus substance thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie is all style
it's
and no substance
style.
And this your movie or film is a ranking of style,
of style,
I guess, right?
Yeah, a lot of it for me does depend on style.
Yeah.
And like choices. Choices mm-hmm. being made.
Yeah.
So.
Next week.
Next week. What do we...
We will break our 1 week... our this is the hint, I guess. We're doing... It's our last ensemble
yeah.
movie. Though I guess...
Actually, it's
I
not.
Guess some of the ones we picked for October
yeah, kinda,
are ensembles.
We do this thing all the time where it like kind of crosses over into the next month.
A lot of movies are ensemble movies.
Yeah, that's true.
This our next one is nothing like Rat Race, Smokin' Aces, or Sin City.
Mm-hmm.
And the hint is that we're breaking our 1 week stretch of not doing movies that star actors that have been accused of sexual misconduct.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, tune in next week.
Did you tell them where they can find us?
You can find us at Movie Film Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Look out for our YouTube. I know we said this last month, but I mean it. Soon there's going to be some new stuff up there for you to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Rate, review, subscribe. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you. And... If you made it through this episode, thank you.
Is it a long one?
I feel like it's a long one.
No, only like 90 minutes.
Okay.
You're doing all right.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely went through a lot. So thanks to you and to you, the listeners, mm-hmm. for being, I don't know, a part
receptive.
Of me going through this.
This growth, this change, this expression.
Confrontation with...
something that you used to like. Yeah.
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 Ugh. And tune in next week.
Yeah.
To more movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film.
I just wish there was less sin in Sin City.
Yeah.
Too much sin.
Too much sin.